Good morning. Man, they make it easy to do this show. The news doesn't stop. We have so much going on, and I'm so glad that I have Jonathan Emord here to break it down with me, running for state senate out of Virginia. Look him up, Jonathan Emord. By far, one of the most knowledgeable constitutional experts I've ever listened to. Everything that he says, I kind of hang in the balance of it. So I'm really excited to bring him back here for you guys. I'm a big Jonathan Emord fan. I'll say it. We don't have a lot of politicians on here. You guys know how I feel about politicians. For whatever reason, all the stuff that I've talked to this guy while he's sitting in his own home via webcam, I kind of see his surroundings. He's a real deal guy. So I've grown to really like him. I've kind of grown to trust him a little bit. And so I'm excited to see what he has to say because we have a lot of news today. You guys know the conservative aunt last week was with the Trump family. Lots of cool pictures out there. He was with Tito Ortiz and their family. You know, it's political season. He's a political commentator with over a million followers. So this is a very busy time for him. He's out again today, last minute, but he's doing bigger and better things. He will be back next week, though. So that's good. Looks like I got an interview with Nick Pomisciano and everything that's going on in Haiti tomorrow for our Patreon. So if you're not a part of our Patreon, it's less than a cup of coffee a month. By the way, we got a huge shout out to everybody in the live chats. This is a live production. I'll do that after the intro here. But today, I'm covering the Francis Scott Key Bridge. More importantly, kind of like General Flynn gave a black swan warning. We got to figure out who General Flynn is first. So we'll talk to Jonathan about that. And then also we had a kind of a black swan warning by Ron Paul or Rand Paul. I'll figure out which one it was before we start the show. But one of the Pauls, Ron Paul or Rand Paul, gave us a black swan warning all in time for this whole Russian thing to happen, this whole bridge thing to happen. So we'll kind of connect the pieces, see what's kind of a myth, what's kind of, you know, rumor. And then this whole P. Diddy thing that Cat Williams warned us about, which is crazy because you know we covered this on here weeks ago. What does it mean when Cat Williams said that everybody was going to be exposed in 2024 and he didn't care if it was Diddy specifically? I'm going to play that clip for you guys because now it's happening 3 weeks later. Everybody's being exposed. Kind of. You got Nickelodeon being exposed. We've got P. Diddy. And is he on the run? Is he not on the run? What are his obligations? What's his constitutional rights here? Thank God we have Jonathan here to break that down. A quick breaking news about the Illinois Parole Board stepping down after they accidentally let go a man who stabbed an 11-year-old boy to death. I'll briefly touch on that probably at the end of the show if we have time. That was just some breaking news really fast. And then we gotta get with Jonathan on this whole social media Supreme Court justice ruling on this whole TikTok thing versus Twitter and freedom of speech. And he's going to break it down for us because that's really important to us, right? We all use TikTok. We use Instagram. We use Twitter. We use YouTube. We use Rumble. We're on all of it. So you can go and follow us on all those. There's nobody that knows the Constitution better than Jonathan Emord. So he's the guy to ask. He's not trying to kiss the tail of mainstream media or myself. He's going to tell you exactly what a constitutional litigator would tell you, which is exactly what the Constitution says and kind of how these laws pertain to the Constitution. So again, way smarter than me. So all of this and more on today's Failure to Stop's last call of the day. All of the political news to keep first responders informed and entertained 5 days a week, brought to you by GhostBed.com/WolfpackFactorMeals.com/WolfpackFiveZero and The Wellness Company. Let's get to it.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the police.
To end policing as we know it.
Off the charts violence in New York City. 11 people shot in just 8 hours on Sunday.
This is about the police officers who every single day put on that uniform and they run towards danger when we run away from it.
I almost forgot. The Boeing CEO is stepping down as well in the midst of the Boeing whistleblower outing himself, allegedly. That's big breaking news. So the CEO of Boeing is going to step down within the year. That's breaking news, too. And I forgot to put that in the intro. Without further ado, because it's just so much. I can't waste any more time, guys. I can't waste any more time. I'm going to bring on Jonathan here. How do I add him to the screen? Boom. Do I do that? Oh, I do that. And then I do this. And then I do that. Jonathan, yes, good sir. Morning, sir.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm so glad you wore a hoodie today. Typically, I always see you in a button-up shirt and a tie. I feel like today you're going to be sweaty. because this is this is going to be a marathon. So buckle up. How is the Senate race going?
Fantastic. We are today filing our petition for placement on the ballot with the Department of Elections in Virginia. Our attorney, Chris Woodfin, is making that submission today. So we will be on the ballot, and that's the next step. And now we pivot and begin the vigorous fight to win the nomination and to defeat Tim Kaine. So we are off to the races, as they say.
That's great. Tim Kaine, backed by George Soros. If you're a first responder, law enforcement officer, you absolutely cannot be a George Soros fan. There's not a lot of absolutes in life, but that is one of those absolutes. You can't be pro first responder and then pro George Soros anything. So if you're in Virginia, you're a law enforcement officer, you're an EMT, firefighter. I mean, listen, even if you're a state trooper, you got to be, if you want real change, if you want, you know, better for the state of Virginia, you got to go and vote for Jonathan Emord. And by the way, he's a constitutional litigator and the CDC killer, the CDC slayer. Sorry, CDC. Is that right? CDC slayer?
FDA dragon slayer. That's what they call me.
That's what they're. Yeah. So I'm a huge fan. Speaking of which, we have the wellness company as a sponsor, which is backed by Dr. McCullough, Dr. Drew, and it's a pre-prescribed, like, kind of pandemic relief for the next pandemic relief, talking about Black Swan events. Oh, I don't know, but this guy's been in the CDC for a really long time. Dr. McCullough, one of the most important podcasts, I think, of all time was when Dr. McCullough went on Joe Rogan's podcast. And you know it was important because immediately after that dropped, they went after Joe Rogan hard, dropping the N-word. I mean, within days, they tried to just trash Joe Rogan, similar to the way that they tried to trash Russell Russell Brand, and Michael Flynn, which we're going to talk about here shortly. It just kind of seems like if you go against this narrative, and I know we use that term a lot, this narrative, but it's really kind of apparent now that when you do speak out against whatever this narrative is, they will try to publicly humiliate you and crush you, even if it's not true. And the Michael Flynn case, you know, there was a lot of untruths told that, and still to this day, if you try to Google Michael Flynn, you're not going to get anything current. You're not going to get anything that he's come to say in his own defense or anybody that said in his defense. All you're going to get is what happened in 2020 and 2021 when they ran his name through the dirt as some kind of, you know, a government spy for Russia. And it's crazy to me, too, like how many conservatives bought into this hook, line, and sinker as well and didn't really do their own research. Again, it just goes to show you that people are still watching mainstream media and still regurgitating what they say. That's very, very scary. But going back to the wellness company, use that promo code Wolfpack. Listen, they're going to give you your ivermectins, your monoclonal antibodies, your CPACs. If you're going on a trip, a vacation, they can give you your malaria pills. They can give you all the things that you need for travel or just for pandemic prepping. They can pre-prescribe you these. They keep up with it when they expire and all these things. They give you these nice little bags that are like different colors for whatever you need. But if you're a prepper or if you believe that there's another pandemic coming or another Black Swan event coming, know that Walgreens, CVS, Eckerd Drugs, if those still exist, those are all going to be rated first. And they're going to be rated by the worst people on the planet or the people that are going through the worst time in their lives on the planet, I should say, which are your drug addicts. And they will do anything for those drugs. So that's the one place you have to stay away from in a pandemic, but that's the first place everybody's going to go. Not with the wellness company. You can go ahead and get logged in. They can get you all those prescriptions delivered to your house in a kit. So when that happens, you're good to go. So thank you, wellness company, for sponsoring today's show. Appreciate you. Let's jump into it, Jonathan. First of all, do you believe in Black Swan events? Do you think that's a real thing?
Yes. There is no question but that for example, the Biden administration is engaged in a planned destruction of the United States. If you go, as I did, to the border, I went there in October, and you get a real detailed review of things I did from the CBP chief, you come away with the reality that you don't give people incentives to come here who are criminals, who are enemies of the United States, or who are going to form a domestic underground economy unless you want to bring down this country. That's just one example. There are people within the government who are working to destroy this nation. You have a president of the United States who is a vegetable, who is a puppet of these individuals. He sold his soul to them. They are responsible for really the control and leadership of the Democrat Party today. And it is the case. You mentioned George Soros. Here is a person who has explained in writing that he views the United States as the principal obstacle to creation of a global totalitarian government.
Would that be the why? Because I know that you just mentioned that they want to bring down the United States. And I guess everybody's question would be why?
Right. These people have really been a part of our government, believe it or not, one iteration, one generation after another, since the progressive era in our nation's history. Since the first federal regulatory agency in 1886, the Interstate Commerce Commission. And they are intent on circumventing and destroying the Constitution. They do not believe in individual rights. They do not believe that in free enterprise. They believe in a totalitarian control. They have a mistaken assumption, like George Soros has, that he will ultimately be the leader of this, or that his son Alex will, that basically they will be in a position to be controlling factors in this and will have their own wealth and their own power enhanced. And the reality is of communism that whenever it takes hold, there's a slaughter, and you have one strong man at the top and everybody else is slaughtered or enslaved, and inflation runs rampant and the economy's destroyed. That's what they want to do to this country. And they operate on this assumption that we are the principal obstacle to their acquisition of control. So that in all manner of things, in economics, in social structures, we have a foot in this country, very strong movement for cultural Marxism. They're sexualizing our kids so that they can be manipulated to a greater extent later. They are teaching our kids that their genders are fluid, because they want them to have this sense of insecurity and inability, and to be basically, again, more susceptible to control. Critical race theory is a form of Marxism that is designed to divide people based on race. Again, an element of control. If you teach kids that their country is against them, that they need to hate their country, hate their parents, hate the free enterprise system, you only do this if you want to destroy our country. That's the only way. Our Constitution and this way of thinking are at opposite ends and cannot coexist. So they're doing this. They're opening our borders to every enemy element. They're allowing thousands and thousands of military-age males, principally from China, but also Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, and Hamas to come into this country, Muslim Brotherhood, all with an agenda to destroy our country. The common link between someone like George Soros and an entity like the Muslim Brotherhood, for someone who loudly claims, George does, that he is against anti-Semitism, he nevertheless gives hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is pledged to kill Jews and Christians worldwide. And he does that here in the United States. He does that because his bigger agenda is not anti-Semitism, to arrest it. His bigger agenda is to destroy the United States. And if it means that theocracy will destroy the United States, he'll go for that. If it means that communism will destroy the United States, he'll go for that. And, you know, he's been kicked out of every country he's been in because of his nefarious activities. And here he's found a place, and he's one of, if not the principal funding source for the Democrat Party. He's behind all the anti-incarceration prosecutors, the defund the police movement. He's totally behind it. He really is behind Antifa, BLM. I mean, you're talking about someone who is very evil and who is an enemy of our republic in what he does.
Mer530 in the chats just sent us a super chat for $5. By the way, if somebody sends us a super chat, we always read their chat. She said, I would push back and say that the issue is uniparty. Both established Republicans and Dems now are fighting against our rights. Mer, we would love to answer that question for you. Jonathan, do you have an answer for that?
Well, there certainly are individuals who are Republicans in name only who basically are not standing up for us and who are passing these continuing resolutions, for example, since 1994, rather than insisting on the budget process the Constitution requires and forcing the Democrats back to it. But we have two forces working, one which is now predominant. We have the old guard people like McConnell, who are basically protectionists, who believe in protecting big business from competition. And they certainly hurt us, and that's against the founding principles and against our rights. But also, and now this is the predominant force, we have Marxism moving in this country. We have people who want to replace our republic and all constitutional limits on power with a totalitarian state. And these are the ones that are behind defund the police and the anti-incarceration movement and the open borders and the whole movement to make schools woke in every respect and to cause kids to hate their country and to lie to them about what their history is through the 1619 Project, for example. These movements are unified and driven by the Democrat Party today. So when you get right down to it, we have got to get constitutionalists in our government if we're going to save the American Constitution and the American Republic from utter destruction. And it's reached that point. So it's people like me who are your friends. If you believe in liberty, if you believe in individual liberty, that's who you want to support. People who will fight for it, who have the intelligence, background, and commitment and proven record of defeating the government. So I've defeated the FDA's attempts to censor vital health information on nutrient disease relationships, not least of which is omega-3 fatty acids reducing the risk of heart disease and folic acid reducing the risk of neural tube defect births. The government censored all that information to protect the drug companies from competition and caused tens of thousands of people to die unnecessarily. Over 100,000 sudden death heart attacks a year as a result of the denial of the information about omega-3s and 2,500 preventable neural tube defect births a year and countless NTD-related abortions. So those decisions, which we won against the FDA, were really critical in saving lives. Well, it's that fight now. We have to understand it is our fight. This is the real struggle is a global struggle. It's a struggle between the globalists who want totalitarian government and total absence of any protection for individual liberty and those who advocate individual liberty. The constitutionalists in this country. And we are under siege and we have to fight back strong and we are in the majority. The thing people need to understand is we are being taken hostage by a radical minority. It's not a majority, it's a radical minority. And if we don't do what we must to save our country now, we will lose it to them. And, you know, this is like the eve of the Bolshevik Revolution. It wasn't that 99% of Russia was in favor of the Bolshevik Revolution. Only a small minority wanted the Bolshevik Revolution, but they gained the ability to exercise power through their manipulation and relentless quest to take wrest Russia from the czars and transform it into a communist state. That same kind of movement is happening right now in this country. And we are the majority. But so many of us are not acting. If just in Virginia, for example, if 6% more registered Republicans were to vote in the upcoming election, there would be an overwhelming landslide in favor of every Republican who stands for these principles. So it's not that we don't have Republicans who are people who are bad. Of course there are. It's that the Democrats universally are adhering to this agenda. There are no more Democrats who are civil libertarians. You can't find them. The Democrats that run the government are totalitarians. They believe in total government solution to every problem, which is not a solution, but a problem in and of itself.
Yeah, let me ask you this, because we do have to talk about the bridge collapse, and Biden's statement on the bridge collapse was that the federal, I mean, he said it almost immediately, the federal government would pay for, immediately begin to rebuild this bridge on our government's dime. He was very clear that the federal government was going to pay for this bridge, even though this barge was under a Singapore flag, and that everything on this thing had nothing to do with the United States. They're the ones that wrecked it. This barge has a pretty long history. It struck a pylon in Belgium. I mean, it's had several other mishaps, and yet it's kind of carelessly and recklessly come into our biggest East Coast port and had such a big malfunction that it tore down a bridge that could have been catastrophic. Had this thing been at 7:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the evening, it could have been catastrophic. And I just thought it was very strange that he was so specific in saying our federal government will pay to rebuild this bridge immediately. It's a very strange thing for the president to come out with very quickly, especially when we've seen stuff with Maui and how he was really kind of, he didn't say anything on Maui, not 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5 day, 6 day, 7 day, 8 day, 9 day, 10 day. It was like somewhere after 2 weeks that he even mentioned the Maui catastrophe. Obviously we had the Palestine, Ohio incident. That he failed to mention. Why is it that this, and I want to go even like more red pilled with this, why did he come out so quickly on this bridge accident to say, one, within hours, that it's not a terrorist threat at all? I don't believe that it is, but I don't think I would say that with conviction so soon, so quickly. I wouldn't come out with such conviction that this is not a terrorist threat. And I don't know that it's appropriate that we say America's federal government is going to pay to rebuild this bridge. It seemed very like it was a shot at him saying, hey guys, look at me, I'm going to fix this. It was very strange. Did you find it strange?
I find everything Joe Biden does strange. The problem with Joe Biden is that you can't trust a word he says. You don't know whether or not he even understands what he's saying. And we do know that his dementia is so advanced that he's basically a puppet for other people. So it's not a situation where, you know, Joe Biden becomes largely irrelevant. However, on the substance of what you're saying, it's absurd to say that the federal government is going to pay for everything when you know liability is going to be assessed. And this company, as you point out with its history, they may end up having to pay the lion's share of this because of the adverse effects that were caused probably through some extreme degree of negligence. And so under the law, you know, when they're prosecuted, there will be a case related to this, no doubt. There'll be a full investigation. So acting before there's been a full investigation, saying that, I unequivocally eliminate any terrorist threat. He has no idea. There's been no thorough investigation. Of course, you don't say that there's a terrorist threat when there is none, but you likewise don't say there is none when you don't have full information to say that. So he jumps the gun, and this is all part of a person who doesn't have control over his mental faculties. The other thing is that the liability, as you're pointing out, that we don't want taxpayers to pay for this if this company is responsible for it. You mean every time a company is responsible for it, they're going to bail out the company by paying for everything? No, we need to assess liability in addition to that. So I just think his behavior, his statements, you know, I can't really, he didn't do any evaluation of any facts. I'm quite sure of that. Told to say something. The only reason why he's told to say something is for a political reason. When he goes off script, it's just a bunch of pack of lies almost every time he opens his mouth.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's a known liar. He's always been a known, like, not even a good liar. You know what I mean? Some politicians are better than others. He's
the same lies over and over again. I mean, right. The thing about him is that, you know, you call him out on a lie, and then within a few minutes he'll say the same lie over again. The reason is that he doesn't have any register in his brain. There's no power of control over thought in Joe Biden. He's just like a running mouth. But what you do know is that it doesn't matter that, you know, he's lied in the past. He'll say the same lie again and again. And the reason is that I don't even know if he knows the difference between what is real and what is surreal or not real.
Yeah, and I don't even think it was his. I don't even think it was he's the one that came out to speak about the barge hitting the bridge. I think he's just guided. He was. Yeah, obviously, he's not like, I want to make a statement. And they're like, yeah, let's make a statement, Joe. No, this was like, Joe, we're going to make a statement. Here's what you're going to say. And you're going to say this was not a terrorist attack. You're going to say that we're going to rebuild the bridge. And again, after you only give Maui residents beans and then at the same time giving Ukraine billions. Very strange. I want to get your take on this really fast, though, because this was from Michael Flynn, warning about a Black Swan event. And again, this is why I push podcasting. And what I really want to get to the heart of this episode today with you is our First Amendment rights and social media and why there is such a push and there's so much propaganda going into trying to convince you that social media is the most evil thing. They weren't pushing this a few years ago. They're only pushing it now. And that's because of election interference and because they know that what's going on social media, the quick exchange of information is confusing the election. And they have gone and said that. We played the clip last week, but I want to play this little thing by Michael Flynn. By the way, I mentioned Michael Flynn's name and our viewers dropped by half. Over more than half. So thank you, YouTube. That's why you can follow us over on Rumble. It's so funny that as soon as you mention the one thing that they don't want you to mention, just catch up. You know, here we go. Let me play this. Let me know. Just make sure in the chats you guys know how to do it. Hit yes if you can hear it. No if you can't. And I'll make corrections. Let me see here. I'm going to go here. We'll add this to the stage here.
Are things that nobody imagined could occur, and yet they did, right? And then they have these incredibly, mostly devastating effects. So I think that's what we have got to be thinking about. I think as we talk to our audiences and we look for feedback from different people, all of these things, and then we have to be prepared on our side. We have to be prepared to immediately respond to these scenarios, right? Like, I think the scenario is these people just decide, look, there's no way in the world that they can win a legitimate, fair election, so let's not have one. So in order to not have one, how do they create the conditions in order to not have an election? Now, that's a scenario. It's not a scenario that I want to have as an outcome, but that is a scenario that I can imagine.
So there you go. I'm kind of warning almost less than 10 days ago about some kind of a Black Swan event to retard the election. That's kind of a big theory growing. And then literally a week later, we have this big Russian confusion here. We have a mass shooting in Russia that we know that our government put out a warning to stay away from concerts specifically. If you saw that article they were told to stay away from concerts, and then we have a concert shooting, and then almost immediately they come out with it's ISIS. Now, last I know, Jonathan, you know I'm a C-minus student at best, sir. ISIS came about during the Trump administration, and then all of a sudden we kind of like defeated ISIS, as far as I know. And then I even heard about ISIS in years. And then now we are fighting Ukraine. So if I get this correctly, America hates ISIS. ISIS also hates America, fights against America. We destroy ISIS completely. 4 or 5 years later, ISIS comes back to help America by shooting Russia. What am I missing here?
Well, I think ISIS has always been there and is still there and grows based on a number of events, not least of which is the ignominious retreat from Afghanistan by the Biden administration, giving over $16 billion of military hardware, the most sophisticated in the world, to the enemy, to terrorists, to the Taliban. And ISIS and Taliban were fighting one another. ISIS is a really comprised of terrorist organizations that kind of are fluid in that they go flow from one type of group, Daesh flows into another group, and they pop up and engage in these terrorist activities. Now, whether or not they are responsible in Russia, whether the Russian government did this itself, I have no idea. The evidence would have to show. About Flynn's statement about a black swan event, we can largely anticipate that there will be efforts to thwart the election. We know that we've already seen that in the 2016 election. We saw that before, even in the Bush election, remember, with the Chads, the whole thing going on in Florida. There's been a movement afoot by groups, and they're funded in part by George Soros, many of them, to influence the outcome of elections in all sorts of ways. So it's not surprising at all. It would not surprise me in the least if some sort of extraordinary actions take place that interfere with the election. And I think we have to guard against it, and we have to ensure as best we can that we have a fair election. And that means that we have to take things dramatic steps like I've advocated. I've advocated in Virginia that constitutional officers, sheriffs, deputize retired military and retired police to become effective election enforcement officers. And what I mean by that is they would go to the places where ballot harvesting takes place. They would go to the places where they could use a round robin approach with a bus full of kids, and they give them pre-filled ballots, and they go in on behalf of dead people, other people, and put those ballots into the boxes and commit new acts of fraud. There are all sorts of ways by which you can interfere with people voting, delay their votes, encumber their ability to get to the polls on the last day. Most people know that in-person voting is principally done by Republicans these days. So there are all sorts of things that can be done, and we need to guard against it. We need to anticipate it as best we can and guard against it. So I'm not at all, surprised by General Flynn's statement. General Flynn has himself been the victim of what you might call a false swan operation. It was done by Comey, and it was done by the FBI, and it was done with a purpose in mind to politicize the Justice Department, the FBI, against Trump and his key advisors for the purpose of running him out of office. They're trying to commit a coup d'etat, and they wanted to flip Flynn so he would act against Trump and enable them to get information. They had nothing on Flynn. Flynn didn't do anything wrong.
I'm excited for his new movie to come out, or his new docuseries to come out. As I've been reading it, what his side of the story was is that they came after his family. They were like, look, you're going to admit guilt to this. We're going to destroy you. And I wouldn't have believed it had the Russell Brand thing not happened, had the Joe Rogan thing not happened immediately after he released his podcast episode with Dr. McCullough. It's so apparent now that that's exactly what they're trying to do. It's a character assassination. And unfortunately, General Flynn was kind of like the first one, so nobody really knew it was a thing. And unless you live under a rock, which, unfortunately, a lot of first responders do, because we bury our head under a rock. We don't want to know this news. That's what we're here for, to give you something else to research in your 12 hours sitting on your ship.
They never had an adequate basis to begin espionage against Flynn, to put him under surveillance, and then to have FBI agents go in and try to induce him to make false statements. They never had a foundation for that. And Flynn having done nothing wrong, saw nothing at all problematic about having the FBI come in and talk to him individually. He didn't see anything wrong with that. The reason was that he just did not anticipate how corrupt the FBI was. And so he got, and who could have really at that point have thought that without evidence, they would pursue him and destroy him financially and ruin his whole life and take him out of office and, you know, have him become a pariah through false publicity. You know, character assassination is a very wickedly evil thing. If someone just imagine if someone says that you beat your spouse, you will immediately be thought of as someone who beats their spouse, even if you have never laid a hand on anyone. You will be immediately assumed to be that kind of a person.
And first responders know this better than anybody because we lived through the Breonna Taylor case. I mean, so they still say like 40% of Americans still think that Breonna Taylor was asleep in her bed and that the cops killed her on a no-knock warrant. We're very familiar with the character assassination. Sergeant Mattingly knows better than most of us. I have to do this ad break really quick, and then I'm going to come back and ask you, I want you to think about it while I'm doing the ad break, but I want to ask you of what your thoughts are on the Russian shooting and why they came out with ISIS so quickly. We've had mass shooters. We don't have manifestos. We've got a Vegas shooter that we don't have a motive for. We have a lot of shootings that even happen in our own home turf that takes days and weeks to come out with information from the government. Now we have speculations from media always, but I thought it was very odd that our government decided to come out very quickly and say that this was ISIS. And it's like, well, how do you know what happened in Russia in a mass shooting was ISIS so quickly? But in a mass shooting over here, we again take our time. So these are all very odd things. And then we're going to dive into the P. Diddy thing and another Cat Williams warning on a Black Swan event, or not a Black Swan event, but maybe a Black Swan in Hollywood event. Okay. So Cat Williams predicts this P. Diddy thing. We made fun of Cat Williams weeks ago, and damn it, Cat, you're right. Maybe everybody should have listened to you, because it really seems what Cat Williams said is coming to fruition. But first, today, mental health, mental wellness starts with a good night's sleep. You can't make good decisions as a first responder if you're not getting good night's sleep. That's why we're proud to partner with Ghostbed. Ghostbed makes those amazing pillows, the amazing sheets, the mattresses, the adjustable base. I've never been been to any kind of a company that takes more pride in what they do. They're the oldest running and surviving bed company, American-made bed company. I got to go to their research facility. I got to talk to the guy who invented the cooling sheet, the cooling technology. These guys are obsessed with sleep and with beds, so much so that conservative aunt and I spent way too much time there. We thought we were going for an hour. I think we were there for 4 or 5 hours. They would make us lay on these beds for like 20 minutes at a time. They would walk us through like all these things. They got the Serena Williams version where they have like copper interlaid through these things for like to heal you if you're active. But there's just so many different beds, from box spring beds to beds with no box springs to massage, zero gravity massage modes. I mean, literally go on their website, take the survey, figure out what the best bed is for you. These guys are obsessed, and they're obsessed with first responders and veterans. So I told them, I was like, look, man, I know you guys keep trying to do this 50% thing, but like, a lot of my listeners are like supporters of first responders and support. I would have no idea who's actually a veteran. They're like, dude, we're not going to waste our time with trying to like collect IDs and get proof. We'll just blanket 50% off. Use the promo code Wolfpack. If they support law enforcement, that's good enough for us. And I mean, from a company that makes their beds made in the good old USA, that's a very American thing to do. They've been with me since day one. They have literally supported and kept this entire show. Every piece of equipment, every host on the show is paid by Ghostbed money. So that's how great and amazing that they are to us. And they even helped us get Conservative Ant on board. So please support those who support you. Go to ghostbed.com, use that promo code Wolfpack, 0% down, 0% financing. And that's if you have P. Diddy credit. Now, listen. Factormeals.com, meal planning to the next level. Jonathan, you're on the road. You're doing a lot of things. This might be something you're interested in, but Factor Meals are chef prepared, fresh and never frozen meals delivered right to your door. Meal planning to the next level. Whether you're trying to be calorie conscious and lose a little bit of weight, slim down, you can go through hundreds of menu items, choose through their calorie conscious menu items, and they will get delivered straight to your door. Whether you want 3 meals a week, 4 meals a week, 5 meals a week, whatever it is, they got this like cooling ice to keep it cool. It comes like a refrigerated box. The price is a wash. It's the same as if you were to put gas in your car, drive to the daggone grocery, come back from the grocery, fire up the oven, cook separate meals, find your Tupperware, your Pyrex dishes, your Pytex dishes, whatever they're called, get all the lids together and spend all that time meal prepping for the week. What? Just stop. Stop with all of that. Go to factormeals.com/wolfpack50 for 50% off. Go through their hundreds of menu items. They got breakfast items, smoothie items, slush, like a breakfast shake items. They have protein heavy if you want to get jacked. They got vegan, vegetarian, hundreds of menu options so that you don't waste any more time meal planning and meal prepping for the week. Get healthy today. Good night's sleep, good food. That's why we like Ghostbed. That's why we like Factor Meals. Use that promo code Wolfpack on both of those. Okay, we've got about 20 minutes left to run through these. I've got to get to this Diddy stuff. Before I get to the Diddy stuff, though, I have to ask you, John, ISIS, why did they come out so quickly with this? Or why do you speculate that they came out with ISIS so fast? Why do we need to rush to this? And does it even matter what we rush to? Because if Putin doesn't think that this is ISIS, what does it fucking matter? Excuse my French. But if Putin believes that it was us, or he believes that it's Ukraine, he's going to retaliate on those speculations. So why are we so fast to say it was ISIS? It was ISIS. Is that because it was not ISIS? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think it's really a situation where, like as in the whole situation with the bridge collapse, you've got an immediate statement being made and they're rushing because they're trying to appear to be in control and knowledgeable, and they don't care about the after effect. In other words, if it ultimately ends up being someone other than ISIS, if it's Russia itself or whatever, they don't care about that. They're using something as a political tool up front. That's why you jump to judgment before you have evidence. We don't. It'd be highly unlikely that we would have direct intelligence that could confirm on the ground, even if there was chatter that we had, and appears that the evidence it suggests that we informed Russia that there would be some sort of an ISIS attack. But even with that, you know, as you point out, it takes weeks and weeks and weeks to do the forensics necessary to establish whoever is responsible. And this administration just hops right to it. I think they're trying to make Biden appear to be a strong commander in chief because he's such a weak commander in chief. So you make him appear to be knowledgeable about foreign affairs and to be able to discern things that others don't know. One of which is who did this? Who really did this? Is it the Russians themselves? Did the Ukrainians do it? Did the ISIS do it? You know, so they jump right to it. They jump to a convenient political enemy, ISIS.
But I mean, do they think we're stupid? We just saw this with the Nord Stream pipeline. I mean, I feel like this was just happened, and it only took, I don't know, a couple of months to figure out that the Nord Stream pipeline, all the theories that we were told on mainstream media, the ones that if you tweeted, you were, you know, anti-American, only to find out in the end that it wasn't Russia that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, that it was, in fact, Ukraine backed by us blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline. So, again, like, they keep doing the same play out of the same playbook. Because maybe they think we're idiots. There's no way. I don't. If ISIS says that they did it, if America says that they did it, if Russian says that ISIS did it, which that's what was tweeted out by the Democrats, then but the conservatives say that ISIS didn't do it. Well, we're now learning a week, not even a week later, that Putin's not blaming ISIS anymore. He's blaming Ukraine, and that you got these guys that were allegedly headed back to Ukraine. And again, nobody even knows if he's telling the truth or not, so I'm not going to hang on his word either. I just think it's very odd when they come up with these definite answers. ISIS, you know, the bridge collapse was not terrorism. The terrorism that happened in Russia was ISIS. You know, it's very strange, is it not?
Yeah, again, I think they're trying to, it's an easy way to appear decisive. And so they don't care about the truth. I mean, Biden is notorious for lying. But he, in the moment, in the heat of the moment, when there's public attention and there's media opportunity, if he appears decisive, I think they think that will enhance his electability, even if he's ultimately proven wrong, because down the road, people will forget. They'll go on to something else. That's what the typical thing is. So they're in the news cycle and they're relevant because he's decisive. And I think that's the real reason why they have him open his mouth. Otherwise, you know, why would they do it?
Right. Guys, every time we have Jonathan Emord on, and the only thing I can guess is that is because he's like so openly going against George Soros, our numbers drop in the live chats every single time that he comes on. I purposely left him out of the title thinking that would help. But it is wildly going on, especially on the YouTubes. I'm not sure about the Rumbles over here because I don't have a producer in here to help me out today. But if you could hit that like and subscribe button and share this on social media. Again, 99% of our listenership goes to audio. And that is why I always stress to you guys. You guys are like, why don't you put more into your YouTube, even though we put a lot more, right? We built the new set, we got the new cameras. But this is why I don't invest into our YouTube. Because once you're on this list of shadow banning, remember when we used to have like 400 to 1,000 people in the live chats back in the Mike the Cop days? And it's just gone down there. And it at all, we lost all of that listenership on YouTube on the last election cycle. I've never put any more stock into YouTube, but because I'm live on there today, and I apologize for all you audio listeners, 99% of you out there, I just have to explain because we have so many people in the live chats, and I this is just not fair to them. And of course, Dakota S, this first time in the chats, let's go. But it's very, it's just apparent that when we get Jonathan Emord on, a guy who goes against George Soros, that it cuts our numbers in half. And that's YouTube for you folks. That's why we don't invest in YouTube and we invest all of our money into audio. So here's what it is. All right, let's jump into this P. Diddy thing really quick. I have to share this. Now I'm proud of myself in some ways because Tanstradamus predicted that the 2024 was going to be like nothing you've ever seen before. It was going to be absolute mayhem and chaos. I do believe I feel crazy, right? I feel crazy saying it, but I feel like the Black Swan thing is real and that they are going to retard this election in every way possible. And the fight goes to social media. And there are certain outlets, certain tools. When everybody's trying to make it, when mainstream media and big government is trying to make you hate something, it's because it's not working out for them. Why does the government need to care about what entertainment you're consuming unless it's physically hurting the government? And so you see them going after TikTok and Twitter specifically. They're not going after Instagram and they're not going after Facebook because they control Facebook and Instagram because the people who own Facebook and Instagram side with their narrative. It sides with the government. It's not hurting the government. And so all these mainstream lies about TikTok and about podcasts and about Twitter, it's because it's hurting the government. Now, this is why I love podcasts because I talked about this Cat Williams thing 3 or 4 weeks ago, and Shannon Sharp had Cat Williams on his podcast, and Cat Williams said some crazy things, and I said, listen, I'd like to believe Cat Williams, but I don't see this happening. And I said that, right? You guys can go back to that episode. It was on Uncuffed Monday. It was our Society and Culture News, and I said, you know, Cat, I believe what you're saying. I believe what you're saying, homie, but there's not going to be a day of reckoning in 2024. You sound crazier than Tanstradamus, Cat. You sound crazier than me. There's not going to be a day of reckoning for P. Diddy, the music mogul, the guy who controls the music awards and Universal Music and all the, there's no way you're going to get to this. This guy almost admittedly blew up somebody's car. There's been more. This guy has had an allegation against him that he's been found guilty for every year that he's been in existence in fame since 1991. I went through a whole timeline last Monday about how many allegations and how many things that he's had to plead guilty for and pay out for every single year of his famous existence, his existence in fame. So when Cat Williams said this a couple of weeks ago, I was skeptic, right? I said, Cat, stop, dude. It sounds good in theory. It's never going to happen. And then all of a sudden, in less than a week, 2 weeks, more than that, right? About a month after this whole Cat Williams interview, this Nickelodeon thing comes out. And that is just, I mean, everybody is watching this Nickelodeon documentary about how just bad and dark Nickelodeon was. I'm wrapped up in that series. It's unbelievable. It's believable, but it's unbelievable that they're coming out with it. And then the P. Diddy scandal that we hit yesterday. Let me play this Cat Williams clip really quickly again in the chats. Hit me with a yes or a no, whether you can hear it or not. I'm just going to play the part where he talks specifically about P. Diddy in this Day of Reckoning, which I remember very specifically saying, I don't think so, Cat. And boy, was I wrong.
Deviance is all catching hell in 2024. It don't matter if you didn't or whoever you is. All lies will be exposed. That's all. And anyone who takes that the wrong way, know why they take it the wrong way.
Rapper and music executive, perhaps being linked to a sex trafficking investigation.
So I just think that is a crazy Tanstradamus missed it. I missed it. I didn't think, you know, that Cat interview, Low Ren in the live chat says that interview was good. I thought it was a great interview by Cat Williams, but again, his foreshadowing came across as so crazy that I think that people just kind of wrote that interview off. And now we see all of a sudden it's really coming true. John, let me ask you this. Speculation that P. Diddy's on the run. What is your take on this whole P. Diddy thing?
Well, as a constitutional lawyer, I appreciate that anyone who is accused of something is entitled to a presumption of innocence. I have to say that sex trafficking is a rampant, horrific situation in this country that is just so abhorrent. And we know that there has been a lot of allegations associated with all sorts of figures in Hollywood and associated with P. Diddy and others. And there has yet to be, serious legal action. Well, maybe now is the time, and maybe Kat got it right. Maybe 2024 is the year. Maybe they have been gathering evidence. You know, when you do a raid like that, as your listeners and viewers very well know, there's a lot behind the scenes that has gone on in gathering enough to show probable cause that a crime has been committed and to convince a judge to issue a warrant to allow that to happen. Now, that wasn't the case in the Trump thing because we had the FISA courts, which were secret courts, and they weren't Article III courts. But to get a judge, typically, to issue a warrant, particularly in the case like this, you really would have to have something that raised the specter of probable cause of a crime being committed. We don't know what the facts are. We're going to find them out, though, and we're going to see what the allegations are against him, and he's going to have to present a defense. Now, I always have suspicions about anybody who doesn't immediately return when they're outside the country and something like this is going on. I think that when you don't face the music, the question is, well, whether or not you might actually be guilty of something. So I think it's wise for anyone who is accused, who's going to face justice one way or the other, that they come in and face up to it. But in this situation, we know it's going on. We have to ask ourselves in the particular case of P. Diddy, what did he do? And what is the evidence that we have? And until we get the evidence, until we have proof, and until there's been a jury trial and he's convicted, we can't say he's guilty of anything.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I've been following the suit and what's alleged in the suit, and it looks like there are lots of receipts. But again, going back to even like through my childhood, there was just always this kind of like you knew Diddy did a lot of bad things, and he just never he never had to face the music. He never got his comeuppance. And so it's like, I wasn't surprised, but the amount of video evidence that they're saying is being presented, the cell phone evidence, the text evidence, I can kind of go ahead and foreshadow I can Dansradamously predict that P. Diddy's always been a pretty vile human being. I don't think there's any secret there. So I can see why he doesn't want to face it. I can see why he doesn't want to come back, because he knows. He knows he's going to have to answer to a lot of nefarious things. And he's flirted with the devil quite a bit. And, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So I will be interested to follow this case. But I think it's more interesting. And I like how you said that, 2024 would be the year. I would say that the reason why Cat Williams would know that was because he's already been interviewed. You know, maybe the feds have gone out, have gone and interviewed Cat Williams about what his knowabouts. And then he's like, oh, I'm not allowed to talk about it, but something crazy is going on. And 2024 is going to be the day of reckoning. And so maybe that's where the Cat Williams prediction comes from. Wayne in the chat says, Cat Williams, let me see him pull this up here really quick. Cat Williams is starting to look like Alex Jones. Some stuff is outlandish, but then there's big things that get revealed later on and that we call him crazy for. I can see that. Guns and Cafe says he met Mr. Emord about 2 weeks ago. We had a good conversation about the border situation. Guns and Cafe has been following us for a hot second here. We're on social media with him. So that's awesome that he got to meet up with you. Kudos to you. Wayne also says Diddy sounds way too close to Diddler. How is that not surprising? Also, I saw that the Nickelodeon kind of blob also looks like this Star Island that we're starting to learn a lot about. Now, I haven't done the fact checking myself. I haven't gone and looked at the real Nickelodeon blob versus the Star Island, but I'm seeing some comparisons on social media, and it makes me go, so I'll dig into it, but I haven't dug into it yet. For you guys listening, thank you guys so much for tuning in with us. If you have any questions, we got about 5 minutes before we wrap up the show. I love it that the live chat's starting to pick up. It means a lot of you guys are out there sharing the show out for us and saving us here. If you have any questions for Mr. Emord, real quick, go ahead and throw those down in the chats. In the next couple of weeks, my kids got invited to go back and skateboard with Tim Pool and the Timcast guys at their new skateboard location. So that's coming up. That'll be really fun. Tomorrow, looks like I'll have an interview with Nick Palmisano and the Save Our Allies stuff. We're going to be going over what's going on in Haiti. How did it get started? Where will it end? So I will be traveling on the road tomorrow, but it should be just a great interview with Nick Palmisano, one of my favorite people fighting the good fight. He's a Ranger. He used to own Ranger Up. And so that's going to be a really good interview. If anybody's got anything else, do you have anything else that you want to close for Jonathan coming up with your election?
Well, I'm just so grateful to all of our volunteers. We have the largest volunteer organization of any candidate in Virginia. We have a massive army of volunteers who came out and spent hours and hours day after day to get over 12,788 signatures from voters to put me on the ballot, and over 400 signatures in every, over 500 in every congressional district in Virginia, all 11 of them. And it's a massive undertaking. And they told us that we had to pay $400,000 to some ridiculous company to do this. And then when I said no, they called back the next day and said, it's $100,000 we'll ask you for. It's crazy. But we did it the old fashioned way. Some people did. One of our opponents paid over $320,000 to that company and crazy stuff. We did it the old fashioned way with people who are enthusiast volunteers for our campaign. I just want to salute every single one of them. Tell them how grateful I am, how appreciative I am. This is the revolution that is going to save our country, restore the republic. And we are so grateful in the campaign for all the volunteers. It's remarkable. And now we turn our direction to defeating our opponents in the primaries and to winning the battle against Tim Kaine to save our state from the ruin that he has brought it over the last 12 years.
Diesel Tech Bosco Autry has a question here. He says, what more can citizens really do? And I would like to just leave that up to you for the last question to be answered really quick. I will say this, Diesel, that there are guys out there that are pushing the envelope, that are doing podcasts. You think about like Tim Pool, you think about Sean Ryan, Dan Bongino, You know, these are just regular citizens who went off on their own. Tucker Carlson's doing it. But they're the chatter, right? It's the chatter. I had a bar full of people and somebody was, you know, very under a rock about all of this. And my whole bar, I had, you know, 6 or 7 people sitting at my bar. And when they found out that this person was really just kind of in the dark about all these things, everybody just started like ramming this kind of like red pill theory. And these people were like, what? Really? That's really happening? And I'm 90% sure that this couple were strong liberals or Democrats. And all of a sudden it was like this whole pack of people had all this information about the COVID mishaps. And they had information about Ashley Biden's diary and Hunter's laptop. So I think it's just I for me personally to answer this, and then I'm gonna let John answer really quick. My answer to this, Diesel, is knowing is half the battle. Knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe taught us that from an early age. So I think being in the know, locking down, getting outside of mainstream media, going down the rabbit hole yourself, educating yourself, seeking out the Twitters. What does Twitter have to say versus what does fake Facebook have to say and fake Instagram have to say? What does TikTok have to say? What's the other side of the story? And then it's up to you to decide what's true and what's not. But you got to remember that one side is trying to keep you from knowing another side of the story, and that's never a good thing. So I encourage you to find your media or your news in various different places. I follow Breaking Points for a liberal point of view. For a Democrat point of view, I follow Breaking Points. I think it's a great podcast that fairly delivers the news, and I want to see what they have to say. Then I also check out Russell Brand and what he has to say. Then I go and I check out Don Bongino and see what he has to say. And then I go to the libertarian side of things and go after see what Tim Pool has to say. And then I go with the far right ring people, and then I have a couple of far lefties that I like to poke into. So I try to get all my information from various sources, and then I ask a lot of questions. Jonathan, what do you think that citizens can do more of in 2024 to kind of save the republic?
Those of us who love this country, who believe in the Constitution, who believe in individual rights, we are in the majority in this country. What we have to do is turn that majority into an active majority and take back the country from the radical minority that is controlling it. And that means you have to open your mouth. You have to tell others, even in inconvenient conversations, what you really think. And you have to stand up for your kids, and you have to stand up for your community, and you have to stand up against all this movement to do our nation in. And you have to vote. You really do. And I know there's voter fraud, and I know there's all this corruption that we have to deal with. But if we go in overwhelming numbers, we as a majority, those of us who believe as we do, and we vote, we win even with that fraud. So we have got to do it. We have got to save our country. And if we don't get active, if we don't stand up in the face of this, we will lose our country. Just think for a minute. If what we've seen over the last three and a half years happens again for another 4 years, do you really think you can survive the inflation? Do you think you can survive the crime? Do you really think that your kids are going to be safe? Do you think that we're going to be a country at all? I mean, really, we are at the last hour. We've got to stand up. This is it. If you fought for your country overseas, fight for your country at home right now. I mean, if you didn't fight overseas and you're feeling sense of guilt about that, then stand up and fight for it here now. It's the time. We've got to do it.
Well, we appreciate you, Jonathan. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you gave me an hour, and we're at an hour and two. I want to respect that time. Thank you so much for coming on again. Please get out there and support Jonathan Emord. Listen, we'd love to do a live event with Emord and his team. Maybe we can do a meetup in Virginia closer to election time, or when it really comes down to the crunch. I'd love to see a lot of you guys there. Make sure you follow Jonathan Emord on social media platforms to stay in tune with what he's going on. Spread the word to your Virginia lovers out there, because Virginia's for lovers. All your loved ones in Virginia, let them know about, there you go. That's what you can do as a citizen. Reach out to anybody you know in Virginia and just at least put a bug in their ear. Hey, have you heard of this Jonathan Emord guy? He's going up against George Soros. Ended at that. Corn Pop was a bad dude is in the chats. He says, did I miss it? You missed a lot. It was a fun-filled show. It was packed. Guys, from myself, from Jonathan Emord, ghostbed.com/wolfpack, factormeals.com/wolfpack50. the Wellness Company, all the producers, Jonathan Bates and Dead Leg, from everybody here at the C-Minus Media Network. Have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow for sports news and then a big case breakdown with Police Law News on Friday as our special guest. And then we had some Patreon content from Nick Palmisano and the Save Our Allies on Haiti. So if you're not part of the Patreon, it's less than a cup of coffee a month, $3. Join the Failure to Stop Patreon and you'll get that exclusive Patreon content of my interview with Nick Palmisano in person, all about the Save Our Allies in Haiti and what's going on abroad. So we'll see you guys on the next one. Cheers.